First John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then you are a world overcomer. Amen. All right, we have been talking here on faith, and this has been our faith refresher. Have you been getting something out of the teaching that we've been doing? If you weren't here last night, you need to get to tape or get to teaching or CD or whatever, because all this is tied in together. Praise God. All right, let's look at this and see where we go here from here. Living by faith. And last night, we talked about faith, and we talked about fighting the good fight. Tonight, we want to talk about faith that works. It works. All right, let's go to Jude. That's just before Revelation. It's one page over. You can't miss it. Jude. And he says here in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, a couple of things. One, we talked last night about living by faith. And that doesn't mean quit your job, go out in the park, and feed the birds. It has to do with us exercising our faith in every thing that we do every single day. It's not something that, like we said, is a gimmick. Last night I said, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you gimme. It's not just trying to get a house, I'm trying to get a car, I'm gonna use my faith. But it's exercising faith every day, every place you are. And for every single thing that has to do with your life, faith. And that God says without faith, it is impossible to please him. That God is a faith God. God is looking for faith. Matter of fact, in Luke 18, he said, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? I think that's verse 8. And the answer is yes. You're going to find it right here. Praise the Lord. Now, what we said, that faith often is a fight. And we went to 1 Timothy. Come on over there with me. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. Pardon me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay, and if you look at that, verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we are to fight one fight for the believer. It's the good fight, come on, of faith. Okay? So, as we leverage our faith, my tennis pro says, let your racket do the work. See? And if we leverage our faith is energized to do things for us. Faith will get the job done. Let me just show you that, just a picture, because I want to paint these pictures in your mind, because that's when you really got it. When that understanding comes, you can really operate in it. Look at Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, he says, verse 3, take heed to yourselves, if a brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, what? Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou cast into the sea, planted into the sea, and it should obey you. Now let's break that down. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain, now let's leave that out, as a seed. So if you had faith as a seed, you'd say. When you say, you sow. For anything to grow, you gotta sow it. So if you had faith as a seed, you'd sow it. Now, if you don't have faith as a seed, you won't say. But if you had faith as a seed, you might say, or the Greek says you would say, under the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted into the sea, and it should, the Greek says would, obey you. What? What would obey you? Got it? All right. Okay. The one thing that's a subject of this is faith. The tree is going to obey faith, but your faith is going to obey you. Are you with me? Now, he goes on down and works with that. Look what it said in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, would say unto him, by and by, when he has come in from the field, go and set down the meat, just get comfortable on the couch, turn the TV on, just relax and take it easy. No. And will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you eat and drink. No. Faith is the servant of the believer. Faith does the job for you. Faith did it. By faith. Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith. Faith was getting the job done. And faith can literally move a mountain. That's how powerful faith is. But it says, be thou plucked up by the root. And I told you that yesterday. What I said to you is that material things are dependent on spiritual things for their existence. That things you can see, such as strife, has a root to it. See, feel, touch, taste, smell, whatever, in the five sense area, it has a root to it. When Jesus cursed a fig tree, it dried up from the root, not from the leaves. The leaves represent what you can see, the physical. The root represented what you can't see. And if you can ever get to the root, the leaves will go away. Whatever's being manifested will change if you ever change the root. Because material things are dependent upon spiritual things for their own existence. When your spirit leaves your body, what happens to your body? It falls down. If you leave it there, it'll go back to the dust. The reason why is because it was depending on your spirit for its existence. So you can curse cancer at the root. And the way you go to the root is by faith. And faith comes how? By hearing. Keep going. And hearing the word of God. Got what I'm saying? So we said everything starts in the spirit. And in John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit. Now notice what God did. He created all natural things. But notice what he did. He said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. Let us make man to operate just like we do. So that's what you do. So you form things that are created twice. Once inside of you and then outside. Are you with me? All right, so notice what he said. He said, no, wait a minute, verse 9. Do you thank that servant because he has done the things which commanded of it? I trow not. That's his job. Faith's job is to work for you. Is to get the job done for you. Adam used faith as a tool to manage the garden. Look what God did. Now, I'm taking your mind pretty far out there because that's where it needs to be. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 again, please. Let me know when you get there. Or in Hebrews chapter 11, look what it says in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? Word of God. So God didn't, and let me finish, so that things which were seen are seen were not made of things that do appear. So we're not made of things that do appear. So God made the earth out of something, not nothing. He made it out of faith. Okay? So he didn't need brick and mortar to make it. He used faith to make it. And that's the way that we can operate. All right, let's keep going. We said, we took you over to Mark chapter 4. Let's go over there again, please. And we said that here were the disciples commanded by Jesus to go to the other side. Verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. Watch this. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not, we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, he turned to them and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? No faith. So this storm wasn't sent to perfect their faith or to build their faith. It was sent to kill them. Got it? And what happened in this particular case, it stole their faith. And what I said is we have to contend for the faith. We have to hold fast to the faith that we have without wavering. We have to know that the enemy is coming after our faith. Now, what does he try to do? Make circumstances look contrary. Make it look like your faith is not working. Why? So that you'll let go of your faith. And what you got to do is when that comes, you got to get in this word. You got to get single-minded. You got to get a little devotion inside of you, so forth and so on. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, what we said about this is notice he told them, let's go to the other side. Were they being obedient? Come on now, this is not a trick question. Were they being obedient? They're going to the other side. Now, do you think it was the Father's will that they go to the other side? Okay. Now, Satan comes to interrupt that. So your destiny is faith defined. Okay. You cannot fulfill the fullness of the plan of God without faith. Now, we're going to prove that here in just a minute. I just want you to see this. So notice, just because you're getting some opposition doesn't mean that you miss God. What it may mean is that you're in the perfect will of God. And watch this. Just because something is the will of God, don't expect it to automatically come to pass. You know, I go some places sometimes to speak, and this was earlier, it doesn't happen anymore, but, and they said, oh, Pastor, you know, we should have, a lot of people in the church didn't come tonight, and the weather is kind of bad, and well, God has here who he wanted here. I said, that's a lie. The devil kept them people home. God wanted them here. The word that I'm putting out, you know he wanted them here. That ain't no bragging spirit. That's the truth. So my point to you is don't think just because something is a promise for you or it's the will of God that it'll come to pass. That you got to apply faith to it. That you are, your destiny is faith defined. That you're going to have to get in a battle and refuse to believe anything that's contradictory to the word of God.
Praise.
Say, I'm a believer. And not a doubter. Now, regardless of the giants you face, you can't look at the giants. You have to look at the word of God. Say amen to that. Because God will get you over. You will have the victory, not one time, every time. All right. Now, the biggest thing that I want to caution you on is your war is being waged in the area of your mind. And that's where the enemy gets in at, because he's trying to first get your mind. Because you get your mind, then the mind controls, starts controls all the parts of your actions. And what you got to do is keep your mind stayed on him. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. Now, this enemy wants to control your thoughts and control your thoughts. He'll end up controlling your destiny. So now, as you get in the middle of this, it'll do you well to not try to think the devil away. I got to say what I got to say here. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, please. You're in the middle of a battle and you got to release faith, and faith is released through words, and you got to release your faith. You got to speak something. You got to say something. Are y'all with me here? In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned into Jordan and was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And now being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he didn't eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, would you all bow your heads in a word of silent prayer? See, that's not in there. The Bible says, when you pray, say, praise God. And he says, verse 4, it is, come on, written. That's Deuteronomy 8 and 3. He quoted Deuteronomy. And what you do is get that scripture inside of you. And once you got it inside of you and release it, and believe what you say will come to pass, it becomes a sword, it becomes a missile, it becomes explosive, it becomes all powerful. And the Bible says, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee. Remember, the devil is programmed. He is an angel that was programmed. And he's programmed that if you resist him with the word, he will go. He's programmed to flee. Notice each temptation, verse 8, and Jesus answered him again, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord thy God, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall we serve. And that's what he did. Quoted the scripture, and here the devil, he walks out. So I'm saying, don't be trying to think the devil away. You're in the bed with all these crazy thoughts, say something. Say something. Say something. Are y'all with me? All right. Now, as we look at this, let me go further. Over to God. We talked about faith last night also in terms of our heritage. Now let me start with this. Faith is not some new message that just surfaced. Come over to Romans, if you will, in Romans in chapter 8. I said chapter 8. Make it a chapter 10, please. All right. Now this is going to hopefully open your eyes on some things. I got faith that it will. Start reading. I'll start reading here at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. You don't need him to come down here. Or who shall ascend into the deep, descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? What does righteousness say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy what? Mouth, and where else? In thy heart. That is the what? Word of faith, which we preach. Now, this is Apostle Paul talking about he's preaching the word of faith. Now, faith is not a new message that just surfaced from somewhere. God has been endeavoring to get the faith message into the hearts of his people ever since the garden. Got it? And contrary to that, the faith message is something that Satan had been trying to destroy ever since the Garden of Eden. Got it? So the enemy tries to silence preachers, especially preaching on faith. But you can't silence something that God has ordained. Now, God is after passing faith from one generation to another. Let's look at Deuteronomy in chapter 6. All right. And let's look here at starting at verse 3. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it. that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. As the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be where? In thy heart. And thou shalt do what? Teach them diligently to whom? Your children. And shall talk of them when you're sitting in the house, or when you walk in the way, or when you lie down, and when you what? Rise up. And then he goes on, bind them in the sign of upon your hand and so forth. So what we're saying is that we want to pass on faith. And we went and looked at Paul's life. Glory to God. And we saw how he trained Timothy. Let's go over there one more time. Go over to 2 Timothy, please, in chapter 2. Chapter 1. Now, Timothy's mother was a Jew, and his daddy was a Greek. And notice Paul referred to his mother as being the one that had the faith. I'm not sure what the daddy had, but I'm making a point. That it may be only one person in your family with the faith. All right, look what it said in verse 5. A lot of people don't read this part, but they read the 7th verse, but they don't read this part. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in who? Thy mother Lois, thy grandmother Lois, pardon me, and thy mother who? Eunice. And I'm persuaded, what? It's in you also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And last night I told you about the story of E.V. Hill and how he was, the story of him when he was telling about his childhood and how his mother believed God. And I gave you that story last night. But I didn't end in telling you the story that his mother said, hey, the deacon board tried to get her to stop letting him go to school, let him help her with the farm and so forth, because he was the oldest one and he was, and you know, their father had died and gone on to heaven and they were kind of poor and so forth, and he could help her and so forth. Well, she said, no, my boy's going to school. Now, that was her confession. And so now it's time for him to go to high school, and he went to high school, and they tried to talk her out of it, of course, but she made him go to school anyway, and he graduated number one in his class. And he said, by the only way, he was, by the way, the only one in his class. And so a little one-room schoolhouse, but he finished the 12th grade, and now they came in again trying to get her to stop him from going to school and help her in the farm. But she said, no, my boy's going to school. Now, in the face of all of that, she was declaring a destiny for her son in the face of all opposition now. And so next thing you know, what he does is he then, bus came, she got accepted to North Carolina, wherever he went to school. And then the bus came and she said, now, son, we've got your bag here. And the bag was all wrapped up with some rope because it had no latches and cardboard kind of shop suitcase. And then she gave him something like $16.33, something like that. She said, now, this is all mama have, but I'll be praying for you. So he had seen the power of her prayer because she was a woman of faith. But she was now passing faith on as a heritage. And I'm only telling you this is because the enemy is still trying to cut off faith. And faith is a master key. Faith is a master key. Faith will open any door. Faith will get you favor. Watch this. Faith will get the blood of Jesus working on your behalf. Faith will help you receive your inheritance. Faith, what, you name it, because it's a master key. It's just like money. Money answereth what? All things. You can get your teeth fixed, get stitched and that. Well, you can get your teeth fixed with faith. There are people in meetings now that the power of God is falling in the meeting and they come out with all new teeth. People getting gold fillings in their teeth. Are you following what I'm saying? And I think that's going to be happening in a lot of churches. But what has to happen is we've got to come back to faith. We got to understand that faith is what the enemy is after, because it's not, we can't reach our destinies without it. We can't build the buildings that we want to without it. We had to stand on this, folks. This, when things stopped and they'd taken all the machinery away and this was an open thing, and I mean raining in here and everything because they'd have built it. And people started laughing at the village or places, and I'm not coming down on anybody now, but people saying, well, see, I knew that preacher. Well, okay, all right. But what did I have to do? I had to fight the good fight of faith. I couldn't surrender because other folk was looking at my faith. See, and I'm saying that sometimes what children see is they see a double standard. And what we got to do is we've got to come back to faith so that they'll see pure faith and they'll hear us talk in faith. They'll see the result of that faith and they'll be convinced that that's the way they want to live. Yes, indeed. So anyway, so he goes on to school and she said, I'll be praying for you. Well, he gets in line, got all of his classes, and now he's getting in line to pay his money. But now he's down about $4 or whatever have you. He's in marching as the line is going towards the cashier, and they wanted cash in those days, and you have any cards and so forth. And he's marching towards it. But notice now, the enemy is tormenting him in one side, saying, get out of line, you're making a fool out of yourself. But on the other side, he said, I heard, I'll be praying for you. And now, the reason why he was able to stand in that line is because he had seen Mama's faith. Folks, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmama, Lois, and now it's in your mother, and I'm persuaded it's in you too. And you want faith to pass down to at least three generations. And it may be one believer and the other one in total unbelief. Just don't be concerned about that. God just needs one vessel to pass faith on down to the next generation. So what happens? He gets up there and he's very close to now paying the money, but he stood. He's standing on his faith, because faith without works, come on, is dead. Somewhere you got to put faith to your faith. And so now he's standing there and the big man comes over to him and says, are you healed? Yes, sir. Get out of line. Sir, are you healed? Yes, sir. Get out of line. Sir, I came. Are you Evie healed? Yes, sir. Get out of line. He drops his head. He thinks for a moment, he might be defeated, but he held on, and the man opened up the portfolio, says, Hill, I don't know what's going on here, but I've got a full 4-year scholarship for you. I got all your books paid. I got everything down. Now notice what happened. This took place without him even filling out paperwork for a school loan. I got to say it. I'm only saying, if we'll bring the church back to faith, come on, we're going to return to faith. And you're going to see a lot of things that we've been doing, that we've been misplaced faith. We've been having faith in the government. We've been having faith that the doctor knows what he's doing. We've had faith. Why don't we have faith in God? We're going to have faith that God will do something, and he'll go around the whole system of the world so that people will know that there's a God in Israel. It's coming. It's coming. I'm only saying it hasn't been passed down, because soon as somebody teaching faith, that's one of them old faith preachers, see? And they say it as if it's some it's some kind of fad that somebody just jumped on and so forth. Honey, without it, you can't please God. And every church in the world must teach faith. They must teach faith what it is, how to get it, and how to make it work. And if they do that, the church will rise up to a place where everybody will know that Jesus is Lord. Now, what am I saying? Satan tries to stop the lifestyle of faith. He's trying to get the Word of God out of the church. And notice what he did. He took that Word and he put it in monasteries. He shut up the Word of God and made it so that they were not allowing the common man or woman to actually have the Word, read the Word, and teach the Word. And they shut it up. And some people still had it. And they even took some of them who were caught with the Word and teaching the Word to burn them at the stake, the Inquisition. And they would take them and try to burn them, but they'd light the fire and the fire would burn, but it wouldn't burn them. I didn't know all of this till my son brought this whole historical document and showing me that, hey, and I said, now that's right. The fire wouldn't burn them, because it wouldn't burn the three Hebrews. And the historian said, John was dipped in boiling oil and brought up and said, how you boys doing? And it's dipped. So, and even to the point that faith had them so that when they dismembered some of them, in a few days, their members grew back. Folks, didn't Jesus heal the maimed? I'm saying whatever Jesus did, the Word can do, and faith can do. So I'm just saying faith does the impossible. There is nothing too hard for God. So I put it down here that faith grows. Not only does faith grow, faith takes. Faith dominates. Faith feeds on the Word of God. Faith does not compromise. Faith speaks. Faith hears. Faith believes. Faith has no limits. Faith is easy. Faith is fun. Faith is not dependent on what's going on in the world. Faith has favor, and faith is final. Faith is also a rest. When you got faith, your countenance is wonderful and your rest is easy. And faith is contagious. If you see somebody with faith, you want some too. Said, man, I want what he's got. If this faith will do that for him, it'll do it for me. I think I want a good dose of faith. All right. Let me just finish this up. Praise the Lord. Whatever life you're living makes no difference. And you are walking and living by faith. No matter what problems may be in your life or what you may be dealing with, your life should be getting progressively better. Don't ever forget that. Bishop Oedipo said, if your faith has no proof, it's a fake. You got a hold of something else. And what people tend to do is have misplaced faith. See, that's the seduction of trying to get a person to believe more in the IRS ability to give them a tax deduction than they do in obeying God and giving where God tells them to give. Misplaced faith. That's all right to get a tax deduction. That's fine. But suppose God don't tell you to give to somewhere that has a tax deduction. Most of that, you know, I'm okay. But anyway, so let's look at the situation, what happened. Maybe I don't have time to look at it, but let's just think about it. What time y'all got to go home? I'll just tell you about it. You run after it yourself. Over in Genesis chapter 25, this is a case where a man or a son named Esau, he sold his birthright. Why? Because he got hungry. He ate himself out of house and home. Praise God. Esau got under pressure. And he got hungry. He was tired, fatigued. And in a moment of weakness, he made a poor judgment. He sold his birthright. And I'm telling you that the enemy tries to put you under enough pressure. Watch this, that you'll back off of faith. And I'm telling you, folks, when I first came here, you know, we were staying with Sister Beverly and this thing wasn't happening. And I tell you, all kinds of visions of things go through your mind. Well, maybe this wasn't the right stop for me. Maybe so-and-so. Back off of faith. But the Bible talks about holding faith. And in the midst of adversity, don't let it go. Hold on to it. I want you to look at a scripture with it. Turn to Luke chapter 22, please. Are you getting something out of this? Luke chapter 22. See, God knows what you're going through. I said, God knows what you're going through. I saw a scripture, and you can just put it down. Throw it up there on the board for me real quick, please. And just put it up there so they can see it. The scripture is found over in... Wait a minute. Just a minute. Yeah. Over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Okay. Now watch this. Just look at it at the board because I want you to go to Luke 22. I'm kind of out of time. Verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The word succor means, you can put it in your Bible, to assist or to relieve. That he knows what you're going through. And he's able to assist you. And I know myself I was over in Africa, and some things happened here and so forth and so on, and I called around, you know, the enemy tries to do things when you're out of town. And one of the people I called, had to call because they had some information. And I said something. I said, hey, you know, I just got the word to so-and-so. And I heard a pause on the phone. And they said this, but Pastor, that doesn't make any difference. We're going to overcome that. I said, well, yeah. I mean, just that. I mean, I just needed just a little relief. I just need a little support. Just a little person. Somebody just give me a little encouragement. We can just pray. Hey, God. Now, I probably would have broke through it in the long run. But I'm telling you, sometimes God knows how to just help you out just a little bit. And here I was in Chicago, and we just couldn't get things started. And I went, and they wanted me to preach somewhere. I preached there, and I got done preaching. My wife and I sat down, and because you know, somebody had stolen our car, and then you know, we were casting out demons in this place, and came out, and our car was gone. So, and demons drive. They drove it off, drove the thing off, and then we rented a car because they wanted me to go out and preach. It was way out in out south, and went out there and preached. And then we sat down and kind of waited, you know, a little offering. Everybody started leaving and leaving and leaving. We still sat there. I said, well, let's go home and maybe they'll call us. And, you know, I didn't preach for money, but, you know, money do help. Praise God. And I, at that time, we were down and so forth. And then 3 days passed by, 4 days, my jaw's beginning to get a little tight, a little tense. And 5 days, I finally called. I said, hey, wait a minute, let me ask you something. Did a little offering come with that? Oh, no, that was all going to the pastor. I said, I preached, and it was all going to the pastor. Okay, all right. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Now I'll pay you back. I'll get it to you. And then I guess maybe next week or whatever, a friend of mine, Bert Singletary, came, called me and said, hey, can you come downtown with me and point at some bills for me with me? I heard you could point at bills and so forth. He had them stacked up too. I went down there in that lawyer's office and boom, pointed at them bills, you know, and so forth. See, faith folk, other folk think faith folk crazy anyway. So just go ahead and let them think it. Just act a part. And pointing at those bills supernaturally got paid off. But anyway, I remember after that, he said, hey, got time for lunch? Yeah, went down to eat lunch, but we passed by this store, and the store had a store that had gym shoes for you know, youth and so forth. And he passed by, he said, hey, let me ask you, your son needs some gym shoes or something? Man, I didn't have the money to buy it. And I was under pressure, and things were closing in on me. And I said, yeah, I sure do. I mean, I almost broke down. But just that thing encouraged me. You see, Jesus sends somebody to succor you. He sends somebody because he's the author and he's the finisher and developer of your faith. He's gonna make sure you get to that other side. Folks, I don't care. You may have missed it one time, like Peter, and got your eyes off of the thing that you should have had it and started to sink. But Jesus is right there. All you got to say is, Lord, help me. And he'll pull you back up. I'm telling you, he'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. It's all about him. He's perfecting you. You will walk by faith. You will make it to your destiny. You will leave faith as a heritage for your children's children in the name of Jesus. One more place. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. That's what I see. He's prayed for me. That thy faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I'm here to tell you I'm converted now. And I'm here to strengthen everybody in faith. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got tonight. Glory to God. Take your seats, please. Yes. Hallelujah. I tell you, them grandmamas, they knew something about faith. Grandmama used to tell me, don't worry, baby, it'll be all right. I could be in the worst situation look like in the world. Baby, don't worry, it'll be all right. The Lord will help you. They knew something. Oh, no, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's a covenant promise. You and he are tied together with a short rope. He is right there. If you're here and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, that's the first step to unshakable faith. You got to take the first step. This faith that we're talking about.